Welcome to the podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. We have a bumper edition for you, and I want to start with a quick bit of housekeeping. You'll soon hear from FQXI member and quantum physicist Catalina Curciano of INFN in Italy, who will be talking about FQXI's $53,000 essay competition. But I want to alert everyone that FQXI has changed the previously advertised deadline to the 29th of October. So if you haven't yet entered, there is still plenty of time. That's an extension from the previously shared deadline. So yes, let's dive straight in now with Catalina Curciano, who conducts experiments investigating the nature of dark matter and quantum mechanics as part of her day job, but also dabbles in some more interdisciplinary research, which made her an ideal person to help organise FQXI's latest competition. Hello, Catalina. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Zaya, for inviting me.
Please tell us about the topic of this year's essay competition, presented in partnership with the Paradox Science Institute.
The title is about quantum biology. So it's really very exciting field, which I think will give us a lot of joy in the near future. It's trying to search whether genuine quantum effects beyond the obvious one, like explaining the atoms themselves, play a role in living systems.
The essay contest title is How Quantum is Life. But Catalina, what sort of questions might people try to address in their answers? And again, these are only examples, I should say. These are only examples. You can answer what you wish.
Sure. I think that that's a very, very exciting field because I think we are on the verge of some very interesting research we can eventually start to do in this context of quantum and life. So now we know we are building quantum computers and we do a lot of quantum sensing. But the question is, what's the inner connection, the deep connection between quantum features like, for example, superposition of states, tunneling or coherence in this context, or even entanglement? Do they play a role within living systems? And this role can extend from an incredible efficiency of the energy transfer, of the transfer of energy, to eventual effects, quantum effects in the brain. Why not even in consciousness? And this might reshape a lot of ideas related to life, which can have an impact in medicine, in neuroscience, but also in our philosophical understanding of what life is, which dates back to Schrödinger and even before Schrödinger. So what kind of questions we may try to address in this essay? Well, we can, of course, ask if could quantum phenomena be harnessed in biology to enhance the processes like the energy transfer or sensing? Or do quantum features play a role in cognition or in neural processes? What about our consciousness? What about the quantum thermodynamics in cell or definitions of complexity and entropy in living systems? Do living systems use quantum features to communicate? These are only some examples. I can imagine that who's listening to us might have thousands of even better examples.
And as always, the competition is open to everyone. You can be a professional scientist. I mean, in this case, I suppose it'll be especially exciting for physicists and biologists, but anyone. But not just a scientist. You could be a non-scientist who just finds this topic fascinating. In the past, we have had high school students winning. We have had non-scientists. We have had people who have entered works of fiction that have won special prizes. So I think we're very excited about what we might get from this. And the way these competitions work is that once your paper or your essay has been deemed eligible and it's met some very basic eligibility criteria, it's posted to the FQXI website where anybody can read it. You'll have an anonymous identity, so nobody will know who you are, what your background is. It'll be judged completely fairly. The public can read the essays and, you know, give them a thumbs up. And based on the evaluations of some expert readers and also the other entrants and FQXI members, we will choose a number of top-rated finalists. Those will then be judged by an expert judging panel. And only after the winners have been chosen will everybody's identities be revealed. So, very exciting. I can tell you that, you know, last year we had a nice surprise. It was a non-scientist who won the essay competition. And let's see what happens this year.
And as you are saying, the nice thing about this is that it's open to a very broad community. So it creates an intellectual, very vibrant intellectual space to cross between borders, to do a cross-disciplinary minds coming together and inquiry in a way which has not possibly been done before. So it's courage, being brave, and why not embracing new ideas, still staying on a solid scientific ground, of course. My wish, if I can say so, since nobody hears us, I can tell you, and my deepest hope is that we will move from a competition to something which is able to support experiments. So not only put them in an essay, but really doing them. So once we go into the wild with what we could do, my real dream is to really do it, to go in the lab and transform what will be the winner or some of this essay, to transform them in real experiments.
Well, I have some bad news for you, Catalina. There will be people listening to this podcast, so they'll know your secret wish.
Oh, my God.
And it's well worth entering because the first prizes are worth $10,000. The total prize pot is $53,000. And we have to be very grateful and thankful to our competition partners here, the Paradox Science Institute. I will be putting links to the essay competition on the podcast page, qspace.fqxi.org/podcasts. And so, of course, head over there. There'll also be links in the show notes for you to find out just how to enter the essay competition. And you can also have a look around and have a look at some of the winners from our previous essay competitions. Well, Catalina, I have to ask you about some of your other interests in terms of bringing together biology and physics. And, you know, we've talked about broadening the community. We've talked about this collective intelligence. But, you know, when I say plant intelligence, what does that mean to you? I know that you have been looking into this question of the intelligence of plants. So please tell us, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it looks a bit crazy, to be honest, because I've been working for nearly 30 years in searching for particles, for quantum processes and whatever which involves physics as we know it. But quite recently, together with some colleagues, we started to measure something very interesting, the so-called biophotons, which means an emission of light, very, very weak, within biological systems.
Are biophotons something that scientists know are emitted by all living organisms? You know, do humans emit biophotons? Or is it something that has only been seen in certain plants? Is it seen in animals?
No, apparently all living systems, including plants I mentioned before, but animals, even humans, and even cells emit this very ultra-weak, actually ultra-weak light emission. And we still do not really understand what's the mechanism generating it, where they come from. Is this related with the metabolism, or what is the origin of these biophotons? And we started to measure this with our photodetectors, which are measuring visible light. They might extend beyond the visible light. And we studied plants, so seeds of lentils, which we put in a dark, shielded environment. And we measured the very weak light these biophotons emitted by these lentils while they were germinating. And it was very interesting to see that the light, the pattern of this light, it's not, let's say, neutral or, let's say, yeah, it has some features inside. And it looks like a grammar. So it looks like this may carry information which looks like the seeds are talking to each other via this light. And this points towards a primitive form of what somebody, including me, might call plant intelligence.
These are, you know, incredibly profound questions you're asking. And when you're speaking about it in terms of the plants, you're talking about some kind of communication. I mean, it sounds scary. It sounds like, you know, science fiction or the Day of the Triffids. But what kind of communication are we talking about? What sort of things would they want to communicate to each other? And then, you know, one step further, when it's animals, what role might the biophotons be playing? Because we don't need to emit light, a very, very faint glow of light, to communicate.
I can only speculate at this point because I don't really have answers. I have more questions than answers. So what we believe, but we need to prove this, we are scientists, so we would like to prove this, that these biophotons and the patterns we started to measure are pointing towards an emerging cooperative behavior among cells. So it's clear that we might not use it to communicate because we can talk, we see each other, but they might play a role in what happens inside our body. So since we are forming from the two cells which come together and our body starts to form itself, how liver knows it should be a liver and the brain to be a brain and the heart to be a heart. So somehow the organism should communicate within and information should be changed. Otherwise, it would be a total chaos. So it might be that part of this communication passes through electromagnetic signals. After all, we are electromagnetic, I don't want to say machines, but electromagnetic devices in a lot of things, which chemical and electromagnetic devices. But there is information, otherwise we wouldn't even be born as we are. And what we have seen, this type of biophotons, exactly when the plants are germinating, so when they form as plant, points to this question. So I'm not saying an answer because we don't have it yet, but whether this might have a role when life it's forming, it's taking shape. Isn't this exciting? So might they be layers of communications we've never tapped into up to now?
And so then I guess in the context of plants, you're also thinking about communication in the sense of communicating signals about how to grow, as opposed to having a conversation and saying, hello, how are you?
How to grow and how to grow healthy.
Right.
That's only the beginning. Of course, that we would like to broaden our research, teaming up with biologists and understand whether these biophotons are indeed used not only by plants, but by broader biological systems, including us, humans. And can this light be used to carry useful information? Can this be used to develop diagnostical tools or even detect disease or stress into living systems?
People have been thinking about biophotons in the context of diagnosing health issues or thinking about medical treatments for human beings. So what would that entail?
Well, I think that one can imagine, but again, don't take me for granted. I'm not a biologist in no way, and I don't want to pose as one. But one might eventually, if indeed these biophotons are emitted by all organisms, including ourselves, one may at some point imagine that the information they can carry can teach us something very fast about the health situation of an organism, of an organ or of an organism as a whole. And that would be very, very interesting. And even more, are these biophotons connected with quantum mechanism when they are generated? This looks indeed totally exciting and interesting. And for me, it's already crossing borders, which kind of 10 years ago, I would have never dreamed I could do so. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of interesting features we are uncovering.
Now, I will be putting on the podcast page, qspace.fqxi.org/podcasts, a link to Catalina's review paper with her colleagues talking about her work with biophotons and reviewing lots of work about biophotons over the decades.
Secret will be unveiled.
The secret will be unveiled.